We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
A while back, and I can't really remember when it was, but I did a Bible class where we had discussed the subject of lying. We never finished the discussion, and someone told me they would really like to have it on tape. And I said, well, maybe I'll do that as a sermon sometime. Well, this week I was working on a sermon on the subject of honesty, and I realized it was more than I could get into one sermon, and so I've made a little bit of an alteration, and we're going to have a two-part discussion today on the subject of lying. This morning we're going to cover some basic things that the Bible has to say about lying, and then tonight we're going to study the question, is it ever right to lie? Is there ever a time, is there ever a circumstance that would be so severe that it would be okay in the eyes of God to tell a lie? Several years ago, I was asked to speak on a vacation Bible school program in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And the topic that they assigned me was the daily challenge to be truthful. That's what they wanted me to speak about. And I thought about that. You know, there are a lot of challenges that are challenges for Christians, but they're not necessarily daily ones. What do you think about this? I think this would definitely be a daily challenge because every day we are faced with circumstances in which we are tempted to stretch the truth, in which we're tempted to tell a lie. In fact, I read a survey that indicated that the average person, it says, lies 25 times a day. Now, when I first read that, I had a difficult time believing that because I thought, 25 times a day? And I was talking with a new convert, and he was telling me just in the course of conversation about the fact that he and his wife were having supper together, and a telemarketer called right during supper. They always do that. And he said that they asked to speak to his wife. And so he said, I just told her she's not here. Well, she was. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, if you think about that and all the little instances like that, maybe the average person does lie. Hopefully Christians don't lie 25 times a day, but the average person. According to this poll, the majority of people interviewed said that they had lied in the past and they would lie again, number one, to protect themselves. Number two, to keep from hurting other people's feelings. Now, I personally think that my feelings would be hurt more to know that I'd been lied to, but they say they lie to protect someone's feelings. You know, I have on occasion, after I've done a sermon, I will ask someone for feedback. I like to make the sermon better. You know, what was its weak areas? How can I improve it? And I ask someone, what did you think about the sermon that I did tonight? And they said, well, it wasn't too good. They said the beginning of it wasn't very good, and I thought it was very weak. And at first, it just hit me like a load of bricks, and I thought, ouch. But then I thought, you know, that's what I wanted to know. I needed honest feedback so that I could make an improvement. If someone just said great, then that would not have benefited me at all. But people say they lie to avoid hurting people's feelings. Another reason they say they give is they lie to get out of trouble. One writer defined a lie as a coward's way of getting out of trouble. And I think that's a good definition because, you know, it takes courage. It takes moral fiber and it takes backbone sometimes to tell the truth. What do you think that this poll shows us? It shows us that most people don't have a problem with lying. Or I should say it this way, most people do have a problem with lying. Now, at what age do you think lying becomes a problem for people? I asked that question one time in a class, and someone answered and said, as soon as people are old enough to talk. And I think that's right, because children, it starts with children. I think it's perhaps one of the first sins that people commit in their lives. A child gets a bad mark on a report card. They lie about it. They get caught doing something wrong, and they lie to avoid trouble. And it continues. Adults lie all the way up to the highest government officials. There is a problem with lying. But you see, the problem is we think that it's just not that big a deal. We think, you know, what's it going to hurt? You see, our problem is we think of a scale of sin, and we think of lying as being way down here. It's insignificant. We, in fact, have this term, the little white lies. Little. And it's white. It sounds clean. It's harmless. A little white lie. But you see, the problem is, if you look at the Bible, our scale does not match God's scale. We need to begin to look at this thing the way that God does to see how very serious this is. We're going to begin this morning in the scripture reading, Proverbs 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness who speaks lies, and he that sows discord among his brethren. I want you to notice this, because in this short list of seven things that God hates, two of them are a lying tongue and a false witness who speaks lies. Two out of the seven things that God despises involve lying. Now, folks, on a human scale, lying doesn't rank high up there, but what about on God's scale? He says, I'm going to give you a list of seven things that are an abomination to me. Two of them involve lying. I would have to say it's very high on God's scale, just the opposite of ours. Now, if we're going to talk about this, we need to define it. What are we talking about when we discuss lying? Webster's dictionary defines lying this way: to utter falsehood with an intention to deceive, to cause an incorrect impression, or to present a misleading appearance. Now, let me ask you this question. Can a man tell a lie without actually saying the words? Think about that. Can you lie without actually saying the words? Sure you can. The reason I ask that is because sometimes people will bend over backwards to lead someone to believe something that's not true, but they don't actually say the words, and they'll say, I didn't tell a lie. I didn't say that. Sometimes people play these games, and that's why sometimes people have to meet with their lawyer before they go to court so they can learn how to give a false testimony without perjuring themselves, how to tell a lie without actually saying the words. It's still a lie. Essentially, what we mean when we're talking about lying is this: you cause someone to believe something that is not true, and you do it intentionally. We're not talking about a mistake. People make mistakes sometimes, but you intentionally cause someone to believe something that's not true. Now, there are three points I want to cover today, two this morning, one tonight. I want to talk about God and lying and man and lying. And then tonight we're going to discuss the question, is there ever a circumstance in which it's okay to lie? Point number one, I want to talk about God and lying. When we discuss what the Bible has to say about God and lying, we can learn a lot. Because as I said a moment ago, we have got to look at this thing the way that God looks at this thing. Now, what does the Bible tell us about God and lying? Here's the first point. The Bible says God cannot lie. It's impossible. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 talks about the Christian's eternal life, and it says that God, who cannot lie, promised it before the world began. That means when God says something, you can absolutely count on it. He will not, and in fact cannot, tell a lie. When God promises eternal life to the faithful, you can count on the fact they're going to receive it. And folks, listen to me. When God promises the unfaithful that they will be lost, you can count on the fact they will be lost. Sometimes I'll hear people say, maybe a person who has died and they're not a member of the Lord's church, they're not a Christian. And I'll hear sometimes a Christian make the statement, well, maybe God will have mercy on their soul. He's not going to. Mercy is found in the church. It's found by the blood of Jesus Christ. If they never obeyed the gospel, He's not going to. God cannot lie. He promised that the wicked will be punished. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. Now, sometimes people look at that verse that says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And they use it to teach misuse it to teach the day-age theory. They say, you see, the days in Genesis account, they were all thousands of years long. And so they bring in theistic evolution. And they say day one lasted for eons of time, and day two was eons of time. And so we believe the creation account, but it was a long period of time, not a literal day, because after all, the Bible says one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Folks, that's not what this verse is talking about. What this verse is telling us is if God said something, you can count on it. You see, it doesn't matter if God said it yesterday, or if He said it 1,000 years ago, or if He said it 1,000,000 years ago, because one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Time is irrelevant to God. If He said it, it's going to happen. And you know why I know that? Because God cannot lie. Here's the second thing I learn about God and lying. The Bible says not only can God not do it, but He hates it. He hates lying. Proverbs 6:17, lying is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to God, but they that deal truly are His delight. He can't do it. He hates it. Thirdly, Lying is contrary to the very nature of God. The Bible teaches that God is truth. When Christ walked on this earth, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." John 14:6. And the Bible teaches that His Word is truth. The psalmist said, "For the Word of the Lord is right, and all of His works are done in truth." Psalm 33 and verse 4. John wrote, "Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." John 17:17. Psalm 31:5 calls Him the God of truth. And so what do I know about lying? God can't do it. He hates it. It's contrary to His very nature. And number four, God forbids His children to tell a lie. He forbids His children to tell a lie. Under the Old Testament system, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 11, the Bible said, "You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, neither lie to one another." Of course, one of the Ten Commandments. Can you think of one of the Ten Commandments that had to do with lying? Exodus 20 and verse 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Can you think of any passage in the New Testament that deals with lying? How about Revelation 21:8? The Bible says, "In the list among the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters," the Bible says, "all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation 21 and verse 8. And so God cannot lie. He hates lying. It's contrary to His nature. He forbids His children to lie. And here's the last point under God and lying. And that's this. Just the opposite of God is Satan. And the Bible says about Satan that he is the father of the lie. John 8:44 says, "Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now let's talk about man and lying. Proverbs 13 and verse 5 says, "A righteous man hates lying." And again, John 8:44 says, "Satan is the father of the lie." Someone made the comment that a man is never more like the devil than when he is lying. What do you think about that? You think that's, I don't know if that's accurate, but it's certainly something to think about. A man is never more like the devil than when he's lying. Why? Because the devil's the father of the lie. And among man, lying is perhaps the most common of all sins. I mentioned to you that this study said the average person lies 25 times a day. Can you think of any other sin that is committed 25 times a day? I've asked that before. I said, I can't think of any other sin that's committed 25 times a day. And someone raised their hand and said, lusting. They said lusting would be committed. I don't know. It's a lot, though. 25 times a day. And lying is a sin that plagues everyone from the very young to the very old. And it's a sin that I suppose that nearly every man who's ever lived any length of time on this earth has committed. But you know, for some people, lying seems to be a bigger problem for some than for others. Because some people have reached the point that lying is not a trap that they fall into sometimes, but it's a lifestyle. I've occasionally heard it said about a habitual liar that he will lie when telling the truth would be easier. You ever known somebody like that? And I have heard it said about some, how do you know when so-and-so is telling a lie? When his lips are moving, right? I've known people like that, and maybe you have too. Now, here's the question. Why do men lie? Why do we do that? There's no doubt we could give a lot of reasons. One reason would certainly be to get gain. One reason men tell lies is to get gain. A person might lie on his taxes to keep more money. When I was living in Alabama, I purchased a pickup truck there, and you paid taxes based on how much you paid for the vehicle. And so when we were filling out the paperwork, I was going to pay $3,000 for the truck, and he said, "Would you like me to write $2,000 on the paperwork?" And I said, "Are you going to sell it to me for $2,000? He said, "No, $3,000. I said, "Then write $3,000. He said, "Well, I was just trying to save you a little bit of money on taxes. Brethren, my soul is more important to me than a few dollars on my taxes." A salesman might lie to a customer about a product to make a sale. You think that's ever happened before? And somebody may say, "Well, that's just business. You know, you can't make a living in the car business if you don't fudge the truth a little bit." If that's the case, you better get out of that business, because you can't go to heaven like that. A man might lie to his employer to try to get hired. He might lie about his credentials, maybe lie about his degree, lie about his experience. Someone else might lie to his current employer. He'll call in and say that he's sick when he's not really. so that he can take the day off. Sometimes people do that and they brag about it. There was a country music song out a few years ago. It was entitled, "I Don't Have to Be Me Till Monday." And part of that song says, "I called in sick to work. No, my back don't really hurt." What's he saying? I just called in and lied. People do it all the time. They don't think anything of it. Not only is it lying, it's stealing. They're lying and saying they're sick so they can get a paid day off. One reason people lie is to get gain. But Proverbs 21 and verse 6 says, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro by those who seek death." Now let me paraphrase that in my own language. Those who lie to get gain are those who want to go to hell. That's what the verse is saying. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity of those who seek death. Those who want to go to hell lie to get gain. Here's another reason. Sometimes people lie to keep themselves out of trouble. You know, it's the idea of the kid who's got he's gotten caught with his hand in the cookie jar. And not just kids, sometimes a policeman may pull a person over, and what do people begin to do? They begin to tell lies about the reason they were speeding. "Well, I had to do this, or I had to do that," and we see all the way up to high government officials lying before Congress to avoid punishment for their actions, and they play these word games, these semantics, to try to turn a lie into something other than a lie. And it seems that some people just lie for just about any reason. People lie to avoid hurting people's feelings. In fact, I had a person tell me one time, I was teaching a teenage class several years ago, and the subject of lying had come up, and a young boy in the class told me, he said, "I lie to my grandmother all the time just to make her feel good. He says, she asked me, 'Do I look good today?' He said, 'I lie and say yes.'" I didn't know what to say to that. Can you imagine that the Lord did that? You imagine the Lord lied to make people feel good? But to many people, it's one of these things that's just not that big a deal. It's one of these things that we accept. We've got this term, a little white lie. It's small. It doesn't hurt anyone. It might spare somebody's feelings. And, you know, I've told you that I love to watch the Andy Griffith Show. They frequently lie on that show to avoid hurting people's feelings. You know, Barney's always blundering, botching up something, and Andy will lie to cover up for it. But they make it something noble. You do it because you care about that person. Folks, we need to understand that lying is wrong. It is a transgression of God. And we cannot allow ourselves to measure sin by how much damage it does or does not do on this earth. You know, the very first sermon that I ever preached was here at North Charleston in the old building on Rivers Avenue. I found a tape of it recently, I guess when I was moving. It was in 1991. And I entitled that sermon, "Little Things." You don't want to hear it because it was embarrassing. But the sermon, the concept was good. It was little things. And I talked about things that we consider little. You know, like the little white lie. It's not that big a deal. It's insignificant. And I went through a lot of things like that. And the conclusion of the sermon is that any sin, one sin, will cause a man to lose his soul. In light of that, there are no little things. Anything that will cost me my soul is not little. We can't allow ourselves to measure sin by its consequences on this earth, because there are consequences of sin far beyond this life. And two, think about it. What's the nature of a lie? It grows. What happens when you tell one lie? You know what happens? You tell another lie, because it grows and it turns into something much larger. Now, this is what I want you to realize. Lying is costly. Lying is costly. Sometimes lying really hurts people. When we were in Alabama, there was a teacher in the local high school, very small community there. And the local high school, there was a man, I think he was a coach and a teacher. One of the young girls in the school said something to the effect, "He molested me. This teacher molested me. He made advances on me." Well, he lost his job and he lost his reputation. I believe he had serious problems with his marriage. He ended up moving out of the community. It just destroyed his life. After he had left the community, the little girl came back and said, "I lied. It didn't happen. I made that up." Well, this man was really hurt. It had destroyed his life, destroyed his reputation. But you see, the damage was done. It couldn't be fixed. It couldn't be put back like it was before. Sometimes lying destroys men's reputations. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." It's better to have a good name and a good reputation than to be the richest man in the world. And the loss of your good name, that's a loss indeed. and a surefire way to lose your good name is to become a liar. You know, very few people have respect for a liar, but a man who will tell the truth is respected just about anywhere. Have you ever heard the expression, a man's only as good as his word? There are some people that I know that if they tell me they are going to do something, I do not give it a second thought because their word is as good as gold. I don't worry about what difficulties they may encounter. I don't worry about what excuses may come up. I know they'll get beyond them and they're going to do it. And I tell you what, that's a treasure. When you have that kind of reputation, you've got a treasure. I decided years ago that I was never going to tell another lie. And I tell you, I'll be the first to say that has not been an easy goal to live up to. And sometimes it seems like a lie would have been so much easier. And sometimes I've slipped. I'm not saying I've been perfect on that. But I tell you this, my reputation and my commitment to the Lord means more to me than the brief gain that I can get by lying. And when you reach, listen to this, when you reach the point as a Christian that people know that you're going to tell them the truth no matter what, whether it's pleasant or whether it's not, you've got a valuable treasure. You've got something great. Lying is costly. It hurts people. It destroys reputations. And it hurts the church. You think that's true? It hurts. How would it hurt the church? Brethren, when a man lives doctrinally correct, but he doesn't live morally right, he's leading an inconsistent life. And if you've got a man who will go out and fight for the truth on baptism, and he will say there is only one church and I can prove it to you from the Bible and baptism is required for the remission of sins, and then he goes out and he tells lies, and people in the community know that, what's that do to the church? I suppose there are a few things that hurt the Lord's church more than a man who claims to be a Christian but doesn't live like one. But here's the clincher. Not only is it costly in this life, not only can it destroy your reputation and hurt people here and now, but lying can cost a man his soul. Proverbs 21 and verse 6 says, a lying tongue is a characteristic of those who seek after death. In other words, people who lie are people who want to go to hell. Revelation 21:8 says that all liars shall have their part in the second death. Now that's a very interesting passage to me because it also lists the fearful. Now think about our scale of sin again. We would say lying, oh, that's way down here. The fearful, we would put that way down here. But the Lord lists both of those categories of people who are going to be lost eternally, who are going to be in hell. Think about the fearful. You think, well, that's not that bad. I heard a story about a preacher and his son wanted to obey the gospel. I think his son was 10 or 11, 12 years old, something like that. And he wanted to obey the gospel. And on one particular Sunday, he had told his dad, I'm going to do it. Today I'm going to go forward and I'm going to obey the gospel. But when the time came, he didn't do it. And so after services, the dad never mentioned it to his son. And so the little boy finally came up to his dad and he said, Dad, I was going to go forward and obey the gospel today. He said, but I was too scared to do it. And his dad said to him, Son, that's okay, because the Lord doesn't have any place for cowards in His kingdom. Now, I don't know if he took the right approach, but his son went forward and obeyed the gospel that night. The fearful, the lying, two things we think of as very insignificant, the Lord puts among the list of those who will be lost. You know, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, the Bible tells us not only can telling a lie cost you your soul, but believing a lie can cost you your soul. And there are a lot of people who speak lies as it pertains to the gospel plan of salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2 tells us about that. Now, what do I do if I've got a problem with this? What do you do if you're thinking about yourself and you say, you know, I've been telling lies? Maybe you do it a lot. Or maybe you say, I occasionally do that when it benefits me. What do you need to do about it? Number one, you need to recognize it. And number two, you need to repent of it. Remember the sermon last week? We talked about the five R's of repentance. One of those R's was the word restitution. And that means that you do your best to undo any damage that you have caused. If you have slandered someone with lies, you fix it. You go back and say, this wasn't true. I didn't mean this. And it may be that you can't totally undo the damage, but you do the best you can. Number one, you recognize it. Number two, you repent. And number three, you resolve not to do it again. Make the promise to yourself like I made to myself. I am never going to tell another lie. friends, as Christians, the Bible says we have been called out of darkness. That means that our sins of the past should be a part of the past. And we need to remind ourselves that as children of God, we should want to be like our Father. What do we know about our Father? Lying is contrary to His nature. He cannot do it. And He forbids His children to do so. And also, you want to help yourself with lying? Spend some time thinking about not only the earthly consequences, but think about the eternal consequences of lying. And you'll have second thoughts. Tonight we're going to talk about the question, is it ever right to lie? Is there a circumstance so extreme in which God would say lying is okay? Perhaps to protect someone's life. Maybe your own life is in danger. Would it be okay to lie under those circumstances? We're going to talk about that tonight. Hope you'll be back for that. It may be that you're here this morning and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Maybe you are a member of the Lord's church. Maybe you have engaged in the sin of lying. Maybe in a public way. Maybe you have hurt the church. Maybe you've brought reproach upon yourself as a child of God. And maybe this morning you want to repent of that publicly. Maybe you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel and you want to do that today. The Bible teaches in order to become a child of God, a man must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of his sins, confess his faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of his sins.